Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for the chance to be together. Thank you for the chance to just speak about your word. I pray that you would help us. Pray that you would speak to us. We just open ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are in a series on the topic of prayer. We're looking at strategies for prayer and what the Bible tells us about it. And if you've been with us or if you haven't, 2 weeks ago, Heather talked about creating a habit of prayer and talked about some really great strategies for how to do that from looking at the life of Daniel. Just last week, Pastor Joshua talked about having prayer in your devotional life and some strategies on how to do that and what that might look like. And I wanted to just share with you kind of a little story of how that profoundly impacted me in our small groups last week. Some of you may have also done this exercise. In my small group, we took a couple of minutes to try to practice envisioning God loving us. And we spent some time on it. And so the first question that you're supposed to ask yourself is, what does it look like to be loved by God? If I were to imagine that, what would that look like? And for me, the first thing that came to mind is this little hill just outside of a ball field near where I grew up. Because one of the things that is the most impacting to me when I'm receiving love from someone is spending quality time with them and having the opportunity to just appreciate something about life together, to actually see beauty together and share that appreciation is so profound for me. And so I just had this picture of me sitting on this little hill, looking out over the field and watching the sunset, and I'm just imagining Jesus sitting right there next to me, just kind of hands on his knees, kind of relaxing, a little bit casual, you know, but just saying, man, isn't that beautiful? Like, I made that for you, Emily. Do you like it? Like, yeah, Jesus, I really like it. And then one of the other questions Pastor Joshua suggested that we ask ourselves, or one of the things that we were supposed to do in this activity, was to imagine God loving us right where we are. And so I had imagined myself in another place, and I was like, oh, that's not what Pastor Joshua said to do. So I started imagining, okay, what would that look like for me to be right where I am, imagining God loving me? And I was sitting there in the circle with my small group, and my eyes closed, and I just imagined, like, Jesus sitting right there, kind of on the arm of my chair, like, do you see these ladies that you're with? Like, I made them for you. Like, aren't they awesome? Aren't they awesome? And it was just such a powerful moment. I just felt, like, immediately in that moment, filled with the love of God, and, like, to a point where it was overflowing for me. I just wanted to share that with you because I thought, man, what an awesome just picture of how prayer is powerful, how it's so powerful for us. And I know that those people were not made specifically for me, right? We don't, like, own each other, but they're a gift to me. They really are, and I love you, my small group. Okay. Anyways, so as I was preparing for the teaching tonight, was reading through our scripture, which is in 1 Thessalonians, if you wanted to get there early. I was reading before and after a little bit, trying to figure out what is the picture of this verse. And there was a verse right before our verse for tonight that just really jumped out at me, specifically for you. And it's been weighing heavy on my heart. So I just wanted to share with you a thought on that verse. And then we're going to play a song related to that concept. And I'm just going to ask you to invite God to speak to you if he wants to. And then we're going to jump right back into the topic of prayer. But if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 15, it's not verse 15. Oops, what verse is it? 16, yes, thank you. In verse 16, it says, always be joyful. Is it up there on the screen? Oh. Always be joyful. And it's just three simple words. And immediately when I read it, my mind flooded with all of these protests about how this is not possible and how this is just not, it doesn't even make sense. How could that even happen, that I would always be joyful or that we would always be joyful? And yet there it is in Scripture, just simply put, briefly, this powerful challenge for us, not just a challenge, but really a mandate, something that God commands us to do. And I looked it up in the English Standard Version. It says, rejoice always, even shorter, just two words. So I spent a little time looking into the word joy or the word rejoice. And I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce it for you in Greek. That's not a skill that I have. But what I can tell you is that the word for rejoice is very similar to the word joy, and it's very similar to the word grace. And rejoice, the word that's being used in that verse, talks about having joy or delighting in God's grace. And so I just thought it was a fascinating idea that you take this action where you delight in God's grace. I think sometimes we think of joy, we think of delight as an emotion, something that should be like a knee-jerk reaction. You imagine grandparents with little, grandkids running up to them and they just have joy fill their heart. It's just kind of this natural reaction. And that if it isn't a natural reaction, then how can you have joy? But the thing about people is that we're so complex. We have two natures at war inside of us. We have our human or our sinful nature, and then we have our spirit. And those two things are very different. And so sometimes when your knee-jerk reaction in life is not to be full of joy or to be rejoicing in God's goodness or God's grace, you still have an opportunity to allow your spirit to take control, take charge, and kind of set the tone for what's going on inside of you. And this is something that King David does phenomenally in the book of Psalms. I just want to read a quick Psalms to you. It's very short, Psalms 43. And it says this, "Declare me innocent, O God. Defend me against these ungodly people. Rescue me from these unjust liars. For you are my God, my only safe haven. Why have you tossed me aside? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies?" So he's describing this terrible moment in his life, a moment when joy is not really easy to reach. And he says, "Send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live. There I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy. I will praise you with my harp, O God, my God." And then he kind of turns inward and he says, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God." And I love the way David does this. It's like he has this conversation with himself and he just kind of says, "You know what? You're feeling pretty crappy, my friend." And he says, "But you know what? I think that we need to praise God. This is the moment. This is when it counts. Why are you so discouraged? Let's praise God instead." So I just want to encourage you with that. And as I was reading this verse and thinking about you and us as a church, a song came to mind, and it's a song that I love. It's called "Heroes" by Amanda Cook, who's a worship leader. And there's this one line in there that says, "You've taught my feet to dance upon disappointment." I think it's such a powerful line. And it just gives me this image in my head. When I was a kid, I liked to run around outside all the time. I was always barefoot and a little bit of a wild child. But I lived on this island in the Pacific, and it was very rocky, and it was made up of coral. And so really, if you tried to dig down deep anywhere, you would hit a coral reef under the grass. And so when you run around barefoot outside in South Pacific islands that are made of coral, your feet, really, you have to be careful about how you run, because you can skin yourself, you can hit your ankle kind of the wrong way and stumble, and it can be pretty difficult. But the more I ran and the more I enjoyed playing and just being out there and living my life, the more I figured out how to be light-footed. And I figured out how to run on the terrain. And I just remember this one moment where I was always playing tag with my friends, and I was always losing, always losing, because I was the new kid. And they just knew how to do everything. I mean, they climb trees like they were made for it, and I'm always the, like, slow one. But I kept trying, And I just remember this one day where I tagged my friend and I ran away and they couldn't catch up with me. And I was running and the sun was in my face and I was dodging the coral or stepping lightly on it. And I was navigating that terrain. And I just remember this feeling of like, wow, I can run here. I can run here. This is something I can do. And so that image is dear to me. It's something that I enjoy, appreciate, but it's the sense of it that I think can apply to us. I think that's the kind of people that we can be in God, that he wants to give us this joy to dance on disappointments and to dance on rocky terrain and to be light-footed and able to kind of go in places where it's not necessarily easy to be, but just kind of navigate gracefully. So we're going to transition back into talking about prayer. Really, I guess in a way we haven't transitioned out of the topic of prayer at all. But I love this verse, our verse for tonight. It just says, pray continually. It's the next verse after the one I just read, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray continually. And one of the reasons why I really enjoy this verse is because when David and I were dating, we watched a documentary on this little community of monks. I don't remember where they were, what kind of monks they were, but we were just watching this documentary, and you know, your kind of stereotypical safari-looking kind of documentary guy who's wearing his safari hat and has a British accent, he's going traveling the world on these crazy mountains, and he's interviewing these monks, and I remember there was just only one or two monks that were willing to talk with him, but this one monk was speaking with him, and he was very serious guy, and he wouldn't make eye contact with the interviewer or the camera. He was just kind of standing there in his monk outfit, you know, kind of this funny stance he had, and the interviewer says, could you give me an idea of about how many hours a week do you think you spend in prayer? And the monk just almost like, it was almost like he broke his concentration. He was like, I pray without ceasing. And the interviewer goes, oh, so you're praying right now? You're praying right now as we speak? And the monk's like, yes, yes, I am. It just was this, it's a very deadpan, no one's laughing, when it's a documentary. But David and I just thought we got such a kick out of this moment. So this verse is really stuck in my head because I always think of that monk who's like, I pray without ceasing, you know. And so that's one of my favorite lines now when somebody scolds me for not praying for my food. I'm like, I pray without ceasing. I don't know about you, but every time, I don't know if anybody's eaten with me, but... But anyways, this verse happens in what I like to call kind of a speed bag section of the scriptures. Paul is kind of writing this letter to the Thessalonians, which is a church that he started on one of his missionary journeys. And they were going through some crazy stuff because the people around them were not too happy about them following Jesus. And so a lot of people were against their choice to be Christ followers. And Paul's talking to them slowly and going through these points. He's talking about how proud he is of their faith and how it's making an impact across the world. And he's talking about how they need to persevere in living a life that pleases God. He's throwing these punches, right? Live a life pleasing to God. And he talks about the hope that we have of resurrection. And then all of a sudden, the like subheading here is like Paul's final advice. And it goes into like 10 verses of just boom, 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 hit after hit after hit. These tiny little verses with like life-altering instructions. And that's where you find this verse. So it's always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances. I mean, there's a whole list there. I encourage you to read it because it's, if you ever feel like, man, I'm doing really good, you know, I'm pretty much, you know, all set, just about on level with Jesus, just go ahead and read it. Read that passage and it'll get you. I'm sure there's something in there. But never stop praying. That's what Paul says. And so I just want to talk to you really briefly tonight about how to do that, what that might look like, and just encourage you to spend some time talking more about it in your small groups in whatever ways that looks like for you. But the first thing that I would say, if you want to be a person who never stops praying, is you have to tune in. There's a prayer that is very famous that probably many of us know, the Lord's Prayer. And it starts out with the phrase, "Our Father, who art in heaven." And that beginning part right there, just that one line, you can kind of stay on that one line for quite a while. I mean, the Lord's Prayer is loaded, but just that one line, you're acknowledging God, "Our Father, who art in heaven." I don't know if you've ever maybe been in an Uber ride where you kind of get in the car and like the Uber driver does not acknowledge your presence and you do not acknowledge their presence. I don't know if this has happened to you. You just kind of like step into a stranger's vehicle. Maybe they're listening to music and they don't even turn it down or change it. They don't look at you, nothing. They just pulled up, parked, you opened the door, you hopped in. Once the door was closed, they kept going, and there you are, two strangers sitting in the car pretending each other is not there. I mean, my goodness, we have a way of spending time with people or being around people and failing to acknowledge their presence. Something that if you're not careful, you can do with people that you live with, you know, like my husband. Just sometimes find myself like bumbling around the house with this person that I chose to spend the rest of my life with, and you know, halfway through the day, I'm like, "Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. I'm glad you're here," you know? And I think we do this with God all the time. I mean, he's with us at all times, right? He said he'd never leave us, he'd never forsake us, and he sent his Spirit to be with us at all times. And yet, we sometimes don't even acknowledge him. Sometimes, most of the time, probably, if we're honest. So the first thing I would say, if we're going to never stop praying, if we're going to pray continually, we have to tune in. We got to acknowledge him. And sometimes it's just as simple as that. "Our Father, my Father, who is in heaven, I know who you are. I know you're there. I'm just saying hi, acknowledging your presence." There's a song that I love. There's a line in there. If you can't tell, music really helps me connect with God. But there's a line in this worship song that says, "I don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room. I want to look right at you, and I want to sing right to you." And I remember hearing that when I was in youth group, you know, growing up and just being like, "Yeah, Jesus is here!" It like blew my mind. But that's really the revelation that I hope we can get as well. Another thing that we need to do if we're going to be people who continually pray is that we have to abide. Abide. This is something that Jesus talks about in one of the famous chunks of scripture in the book of John before he's going to be crucified. He gives this whole big teaching and he prays for the believers and the disciples and the future believers that is us. And it's this really amazing thing, but he talks about abiding. Dwelling, kind of being with Jesus. And one of the ways I like to think of it is this idea of dedication or submission. I think sometimes we think of submission as like a really negative word. But when you have a perfect person who loves you and has no flaws and only ever sacrificially gives of themselves to lift you up, there's nothing wrong with fully submitting everything you have. So it's like this idea that I know my days, they belong to Jesus. I know my life, my time, it belongs to Jesus, and I'm cued into that fact. I'm paying attention to the fact that I'm with him, right? I'm spending my time with him. I'm growing. If I'm a person who's growing, I'm a branch on his tree. I'm not my own tree, you know? There's a verse that says, "Whatever you do, do it as if to the Lord." There's a book that I was just reading in preparation for tonight. It's called The Practice of the Presence of God. And this guy, also another monk, really the monks, you know, I think they had a good sense of this. But he worked in the kitchens at this like monastery, and it just, everything that he did, he like saw some powerful spiritual significance in it. He dropped a plate and he's picking up the pieces and he's doing it for Jesus. It's this powerful sense of consciousness of everything belonging to God and being for God. So we have to abide. We have to stay in him. The next thing we have to do is communicate. And communication is a really big word with a whole lot of things to it. So I just want to break it down into a couple of parts for you to think about. Prayer is something that definitely requires intentionality. And I think that's something that Heather and Pastor Joshua did a tremendous job of discussing and sharing some ideas on intentionality around your prayer. What to pray, how to pray, strategies, where, when. And I would just like to share a couple of thoughts as well around intentionality. Have you ever heard the phrase that communication, body language is 90% of communication or something like that? I wanted to quote it, so I Googled it because I wanted to make sure I had my percentage right. And then I realized that it's a bogus statistic. But Psychology Today says that communication is, in fact, 55% body language. So, you know, there's some legitimacy there. But I think communication and what's going on with you doesn't just have to do with what you're saying to God. It doesn't just have to do with what's on your prayer list. What are your petitions? What are your questions? What are the things that you're asking for, the things you're thanking him for, the things that you're crying out for? It's not just those things, right? There's a lot more to it. It has to do with your attitude towards God. It has to do with your tone. It has to do with how you carry yourself. And I, my friends growing up, people who know me well, they have often made fun of me for what they call my TV face. I don't know if any of you guys have a TV face. Do you have a TV face? Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you kind of like do that vegetable brain dead, I'm spaced out watching TV on the couch thing, do you have a face that goes with that? And if so, that's your TV face. Well, my TV face is especially pronounced. And I've often, I've had people taking pictures of me. I've found myself realized I've been drooling for the past 10 minutes or who knows how long. I mean, fully awake. I'm not talking about sleeping. I'm awake. I'm watching the TV, but my TV face is on. So I used to spend time with some of my friends, and sometimes they'd be like, yeah, let's watch this show. But I get so focused in on the show, I'm not even... I could be by myself for all I care. I'm not paying attention to them. This is not quality time. And so you can see it in my body language. All effort to present myself as like a reasonable human being that someone would want to be friends with or even just be in a room with, like, just slips away. And that happens to us, you know. It happens to us. I definitely think that when you're with God, you can relax around him. But do you have a TV face with God? Is there a way that you just kind of become careless in the way that you carry yourself, in the way that you are acting, in the way that you are living, that would actually kind of negate the idea that you're in communication with God or that you know he's around or that you care that he's there? And I would definitely say there is for me. Another way that we can be intentional in prayer is by praying in other languages and sometimes even just in groans. The Bible talks about this in a few places. And it's just something that I wanted to touch on because it's a very, very big deal for me. Sometimes I need to communicate with God and I don't have the words. I don't know what to say. And God gives me a way to still communicate with him in those moments. And sometimes it's literally just crying. I mean, have you ever noticed the difference between crying in a room by yourself, feeling like no one cares, no one loves me, no one knows what I'm going through, versus crying in a room and knowing that God is with you? Knowing that you're crying about something, but in some way you're crying to him. That's communication. That's prayer right there. That's one part of it. It's very intentional. You have to shift in your mind this idea that what I'm going through, I'm not going through alone. And speaking in other languages and praying through groans and through tears, that's one way that we can do that. Communication also, I believe, contains a very immaterial, abstract aspect. There's something about you that was made to be in communion with God. And I believe that when you're not being obstructed somehow, you are. You're just. Everything that you do is like a prayer to Jesus. It's like lifting up worship and declaring who he is. The Bible talks about how the skies and how the trees, they declare the glory of God. They speak about his wonders. They're worshiping him. And they're not doing that intentionally. I mean, they don't have a consciousness to our knowledge, right? I mean, but just something about the way God made them. There's a connection there. And I think when you are living your life, your God-given life, your God-given purpose, when you're tuned into that, everything that you do, every time that you are beautiful, it's like a secret conversation between you and God. Sometimes it's not secret. Sometimes it's right out there for the whole world to see. But it's a conversation between you and God. It's this unintentional, immaterial part of communication that has to do with being people of prayer. Another aspect of prayer, another thing that you have to do if you want to be a person who never stops praying, is you have to listen. You have to listen, because communication is a two-way street. So, if you're doing all the talking and you're never listening, it's not a very good conversation, is it? Listening is sometimes one of the hardest things to do, especially because oftentimes we like to pretend that we all know how to multitask. And you can try to convince me, you can hear me even saying that, I'm multitasking. I don't believe in multitasking. I think it's just a big lie. We pretend that we're doing multiple things at once. This is why people can't walk and text. Like, I'm multitasking. No. You're taking a split second look at where your next foot's going and then texting some more. Your brain is fast. But if you're not careful, if you're not paying attention, you can totally lose sight of being open to and listening to God. It's something that you probably have to keep tuning into throughout your day, something that you have to keep learning how to do. Another way that you can listen to God, very practically, is by reading the Bible. And not reading the Bible as study material, because you can study the Bible as well, which is something I would highly encourage you to do. It's a great activity. But reading the Bible in the same way that you can kind of cry in two ways, cry and just kind of think you're by yourself versus crying and knowing that you're crying to someone who hears you, reading the Bible and being open to hearing from God. There's something about switching your attitude and just saying, God, is there anything you want to say to me today? I'm going to read my Bible just in case. I'm going to spend some time listening just in case. I'm going to be tuned in. I'm going to remember that you're with me at all times. But I'm listening. I'm listening. Just a few more thoughts for you on constant prayer. There's a lot of different kinds of prayer. We have a couple more weeks in this series, which I'm really, really excited about, because I think prayer is something that I need to learn very much in my life and something that we need to know how to do really well as people. But I love the idea of continually praying, because it is such a formative thing. You can just really be formed by the way that you engage in prayer. If you just think about it logistically speaking, if you don't stop praying, if you're constantly praying, you have that much more time to be impacted by prayer versus, you know, spending a devotional time or doing certain activities. This idea of constantly being in prayer, you're opening yourself up at all times to what God wants to be saying. It's something that can change your mindset, something that can totally change the way you think, which is definitely something that I'm all for. Sometimes we get stuck in mindsets and there's just no way we can get ourselves out of there. But just opening ourselves up to prayer in Jesus is transformative. Continually praying is something that can open up the doors in your life to accessing gifts that God has for you, to accessing the plans that God has for you, in just easier, faster than it would otherwise. You know, you think of Jonah that Pastor Kurt was talking about just a couple days ago. If you're running away from God and God's trying to have you fulfill his plan for your life, there's a whole lot of things you got to go through just to get back to the starting line. You know, he had to go in the belly of a whale, you know, not so high. But if you're staying in prayer, you're right there. You're right there for God to speak to you, to use you, to move you into your purpose at a moment's notice. What a powerful thing. I was enjoying this devotional this morning about Solomon and conversation that he had with God where he asked for wisdom. And I was so impressed by this idea that Solomon became king and he went to go speak to God and he sacrificed to God and he wanted to just be there and pray and ask God to be with him. And that same night, God responded to his prayer by giving him a dream. And in that dream, God said, well, what do you want? Anything you want, I'll give it to you, Solomon. And Solomon responded to him. It's this back and forth conversation. Solomon says, I want wisdom. And God says, because you asked for wisdom, I'll give you it all. I'll give you wisdom and wealth and power. And just, but the idea that this was not a thing that happened a long time ago. It was a real-time series of events. It was a real-time conversation. It was a reaction or in response between the Almighty God. This idea that we can pray, that we can access God who wants to engage with us now, is just so powerful to me. God is not a God who wants to talk to you and be with you after you die. That's not what he wants. He wants that now. That's why he died, so he could give you life, so that right now you could have that relationship with him, that real-time, back-and-forth relationship. And that's what we need to access. That's the power that we're trying to unleash. That's what we need to be passionate about, it, asking God to teach us how. Teach us how to pray. So, Father, since you're here in this room right now, I just pray that you would help us. I pray that you would be with us. I pray that you would teach us to be people of prayer. God, I pray that you would give us joy. Help us to figure out how to access that. Help us to encourage each other, to learn how to pray together as a community. We love you, Jesus. We want to know you better more and more. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.